This evening's scripture reading will come from Exodus 4, 10 through 11. Exodus 4, 10 through 11. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon thy servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to thy servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them not able to see? Is it not I, the Lord?"
Good evening. It's great to be here again. We've had a wonderful day. We've had a wonderful period of worship here tonight, and I'm very appreciative of that. And I'm very grateful for your presence. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time of year, especially for those of us who may be in the field of education, as we get to May and we get to that time of year. I was thinking the next time that I'm here, Lord willing, will be in June and school will be out. That's definitely something that I look forward to. If the students, as much as they look forward to summer, if they realize how much their teachers look forward to summer as well. I teach in a school with fourth and fifth graders, and you know there are some times where things will come up, and I will think, boy, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. Sometimes, like when we're at recess, and you know there'll be a couple of teachers standing together, and students will come up, and you know if they're having an issue or something happened. And sometimes they'll come to me, sometimes they'll come to a different teacher, and sometimes I think, boy, you know, I wish that they had come to the other teacher for this issue, whatever it is, and I kind of want out of it. And I'm sure that probably all of us in our work or maybe in other parts of our life, you know, wish there were things, you know, there are things that we wish we didn't kind of have to deal with, that it went off to somebody else. We kind of have those Moses moments, like we see in Exodus chapter 4. We think, you know, I just don't think I'm the right person to handle this. I'm sure you could find someone else who would do a better job, who's more qualified. And that's kind of what I wanted to think about this evening, is with Moses and the interactions that he has with God. When God comes to him and tells him what he wishes. And so I wanted to look through Exodus chapter 4, the first several verses, and see what happened with God and Moses, and then try to maybe pull some lessons for our own lives as we look through this. As the people of Israel were suffering under the Egyptians, God heard their cries, and he would deliver them from their slavery. The angel of the Lord came to Moses in the form of a burning bush that was not being consumed by the fire, and God said that he would send Moses to Pharaoh. And Moses said, "Who am I?" And God said, "I will be with you." And so I wanted to kind of think about, you know, that first interaction and as it leads into what we see what happened later on. So the first point I wanted to look at is in Exodus 4, beginning in verse 1, that Moses was deciding for others whether or not they would listen to him. In Exodus 4:1, Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" And that's something that I find myself guilty of too. Deciding for others how they will respond to the gospel, to coming to God, to truth. There are people that, whether consciously or subconsciously, I think in my mind, well, they wouldn't be interested. They're not the kind of person who would be interested in hearing about God. Or for them to be faithful would be too much of a departure from the way that they live now. And those thoughts will enter my head, and it's just arrogant and foolish for me to think that I can know someone's heart that I know how they would respond to the teachings of God. Do I really think I could ever have any idea of what that is? Maybe it's a defense mechanism. If I kind of decide what would happen beforehand, I don't have to follow through. I don't have to face disappointment. I don't have to be uncomfortable. But of course, that's not the way that God wants us to live. That's not the way that God wants us to think. Primarily because it's wrong. We don't know the hearts of other people. And just looking at someone and looking at their life and trying to judge that, you know, as if we don't sin, as if the gospel is made for perfect people. It's really ridiculous. That isn't the way God taught us. Christ taught us to preach the gospel unto every creature. And we know that we are also taught that the path is wide that leads to destruction. And we know that there are many people who will go by it. We realize that not everyone who hears the gospel is going to respond. God has told us that. But it's not for us to know who that is or who that wouldn't be. And really, kind of by definition, everybody who obeys the gospel is sinful. All of us are. All of us were sinful before we came to Christ. That's why we needed to. So for us to think that we should decide for other people what they will do with the gospel is certainly foolish. And that's a little bit of what I wanted to think about with Moses when he said, they're not going to listen to me. They won't believe me. So then God responds to Moses in verse 2 and gives him something to back up what he would tell him. He gives him evidence. In Exodus 4:2, the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." Now, I think this is really interesting. When Moses said, "They're not going to believe me," God said, "Here, this will confirm your word. You will have evidence for it." And not just one, but not just two, but three. He gave him three signs that he could perform, three ways of proving that his message was from God. Now, when you and I go out, we will not be able to perform miracles in that way. But God hasn't asked us to go out without something that is true, without something to stand on, without something to prove the words that we speak. We have the Word of God. We have the testimony of miracles being performed. We have prophecies that were fulfilled in the person of Christ. And there's even many evidences, even outside of the Word of God, that speak to the existence of a Creator. I don't want to compare teaching the gospel to just selling something, like just trying to convince people of things, of just arguments. That's, of course, not like the way our attitude should be. It should be out of love and out of sincerity and out of care and concern for other people. So it's not that I think we need this evidence to use as sort of a hammer to use to win an argument. But it is important to know that the things that we would go out and teach are not just our own thoughts. It's not that we can't back them up. It's not that it's not grounded in logic and truth and reason and science. And we have something that we can use. We have many things that we can use to confirm the gospel, the good news. So it's not something that we use to win arguments. But it's not that we're out there just relying on our own abilities or our own presence with nothing to back it up. God didn't ask us to go into the world and try to convince people of fairy tales. 2 Peter 1:16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." God sent Moses out with the truth and a way to verify the truth. And He has done the same for us. He's taught us to go and speak the truth, but He's given us ways to confirm and verify that truth. And I know that I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before, but I think the word faith is so misunderstood. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The Greek word for assurance there means a substructure, a basis. There's substance to it. Subsistence. I don't know which word is the right one to use. Subsistence, sustenance, there's something grounded there. The Greek word for conviction means a trial in order to prove. Faith is believing in things you haven't seen because of evidence, because of reason. It's not just believing in things without any backing to it. It's not blind faith. And I think even a lot of religious people view their faith that way, that it's just something you feel. It's not something I can prove or explain. I just feel it. And it's not that there's not emotion and feeling that goes into our faith. Of course there is. But it is founded on something true. It's founded on fact and reason. And so when we go out in the world, we are equipped to speak the truth and to verify it. 2 Timothy 3:16. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." God didn't ask Moses to go out and convince people and compel them by the power that was within Moses. He gave him something solid, something true to back it. And He does that for us. So not only did God give Moses, you know, this evidence, this foundation that he could use to verify what he was saying, He also gave Moses what to say. Picking up again in Exodus 4, verse 10. "But Moses said to the Lord, 'O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.'" You know, one of the things that I try to pray for as often as I can is wisdom. We're taught to pray for wisdom. Maybe it's because I need it so much. It's in short supply sometimes. But when we go out in the world, we can know that God will give us what to say. I believe that when we pray for wisdom, He will help us. That's why we're commanded to pray for wisdom. And even if we just have the Scriptures, that's enough. Even if that's all we have to communicate, even if we're not the best teacher or we're not quick on our feet, we have the Word of God that we can share with people. We can just read it, and that is something. That is powerful. And so we, like Moses, we are not just sent out to come up with our own ideas and our own you know, ways and our own commandments and just by the power of ourselves teach people. God has gave wisdom to Moses and guided him, and He will guide us as well. But Moses still did not want to go. In Exodus 4:13, but he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." And it's, I'm trying not to like make it comical, but he just says, "Well, no, they won't listen to me, or I'm not good with speech. I have no idea what to say." And God answers it and kind of takes away those excuses until finally he's like, just please send somebody else. And I admit that, you know, sometimes I can relate to that statement. There are things that I know need to be done for the kingdom. And sometimes because of uneasiness or discomfort or, you know, lots of selfish reasons, I might think like, boy, I wish somebody else would do that. And that's kind of a Moses feeling. But I know that I have that sometimes where I don't speak up and say or do the things that I should. And what I'm going to say next, I haven't studied like sociology. I'm not an expert. I have no training in that or anything. But I find it interesting as I was thinking about this. You know, in the United States, the freedom of speech is one of our most valued rights. It's like one of the foundational principles of this country, is that we have a freedom to express our ideas and say what we want, and it's protected that we have the right to say those things. And yet, at the same time, there's such uneasiness about talking about certain things. You know, the two things that you're not supposed to talk about, religion and politics. And it's just, it's a weird contrast that we value this freedom of speech. You can say what you want and no one can stop you, and you can have your opinions. And if it offends people, it offends people. You're protected. We value that so much. But then we also say, if you say things that are, you know, don't say things that are offensive. And we shy away, and there's so much kind of unspoken pressure about talking about things that are uncomfortable to some people. It's interesting. It's hard to put in the words this kind of complex intersection between those two ideas, that we value the right to speak our beliefs, but then it's not really socially acceptable all the time to do so. And you know, Moses says, please have somebody else do it. And I find myself feeling that way sometimes because of, you know, the uncomfortableness at times. It's kind of like the inverse of Isaiah 6:8, one of my favorite verses, because again, I think I need it so much. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. That's the way that I want to be. Not, can't somebody else do it, but here am I, send me, I'll do it, whatever it is. And it doesn't say that Moses didn't care about the people of Israel, that he was against the liberation of his people, or that he didn't want to serve God. I don't think that was the case. Just like I think of myself, I want the gospel preached. I want God's name glorified. But sometimes I struggle with, you know, putting myself as the person who needs to do that. In Romans chapter 10, I'm going to read a couple of verses, beginning in verse 14. Just thinking about the need for the gospel to be preached. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? People will not know about Christ unless they hear about him. And how are people going to hear about him unless we preach him? And then verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Then in Matthew 9:35, And Jesus went out, went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out into his harvest." I want to love God more and more. And I want to grow more and more into being that person who says, "Here am I, send me." And I want to make sure that I'm not the kind of person who sees something that could be done and thinks, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." And then the final point that I want to make here is, as God, is speaking with Abraham, or excuse me, Moses. As God is speaking to Moses in Exodus 4, verse 14, "Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses." After Moses said, "Please send someone else," the Lord's anger was kindled. And he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs." So even after Moses had run out of excuses and said, "Please just send somebody else," God gave him a friend to go with him. He gave him support. I've been teaching for a long time now, like 20 years ish. So it's been a while, and I've been in different situations. And right now, I'm very fortunate. I have somebody that I work with. We have like teaching partners where we have the same group of kids, and we just send them back and forth. And the person that I teach with right now, we get along really well. And, we have the same kids, and it's so nice to have somebody that you can just kind of go and talk to and say, like, "Oh, this student was having this issue today," and they know exactly what you're talking about because they have that student too. And it's just nice to have someone that you're working with that's kind of like, your partner. And you go through life. And in a much, much greater sense, we have people who are with us who know the struggles that we're going through. And they know the kind of things that can happen. And coming home to a wife who is faithful and loves God and understands, living a Christian life, it's just so important. When we come here together, this is so important. Because I know if I'm ever uneasy or scared about doing something for the Lord, of putting myself out there, no matter how badly it goes or how uncomfortable I get, I know that I can go to my wife, I can go to my parents, my in-laws, I could go to any one of you and talk about it. And I know that you will be there, and you will hear, and you will support, and you will understand what I say. Even if I go out and I get mocked mercilessly for my beliefs, I know that I could go to any of you and talk to you, and you would be there for me. That's what this family is. We're not alone when we live this life. Even if we're alone in that moment, we are there to support each other in spirit. And we know that we can come back home to our family and we can get that support. And I'm very fortunate to have, literally my family, in addition to this spiritual family. But even if, some people don't have that, again, that's not something I can relate to, but you have it here in the body. You have it here in the family of Christ. And so if we're ever concerned, if we ever need that strength and that courage to do something out in the world, know you can always come back here and find that support. And that is just such a blessing. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, "And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. Christ sent his messengers out with somebody there to support them. And he doesn't expect us to go out without the support of this body, of our family in Christ. Remember the first thing that God told Moses when he was anxious about being sent forth. And Moses said, "Who am I? Who am I to go out and to do these things? But I will be with you," is what God said. "I will be with you." And God was. And I know we've spent this entire study kind of disparaging Moses and criticizing him for all the kind of faults that he had and using him as an example of what not to do. But we can't close without remembering what he accomplished. And when you look at Hebrews 11 in the Faith Hall of Fame, that Moses' faith allowed him to do such great things and to have such an amazing place in the story of the Bible. It's incredible what he did. And he is held up as this example of incredible faith. And remember, when God came to him, he wasn't perfect. He had these struggles. If we are struggling, God can be with us. And we can do things that maybe we don't believe we can. Moses was chosen to take this incredible role in God's work, and it's amazing. And he went through with it. And we have a role that we can play as well. And I pray that I have more courage and more strength in going through with it. God has a way of removing our excuses if our heart is in the right place. And so I pray and I hope tonight that I can genuinely ask God to take those excuses out of the way, as he did for Moses, that I can be the servant that I need to be and to truly do so in love, that he may be glorified. Well, this evening, you have an opportunity, if you have not taken him on in baptism, that you can become a part of this family. Again, when I say I could come to you, I mean you as my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are people, my brothers and sisters, that I can come to, and it's such an amazing family that we have. If you want to become a member of that family, you may. If you have and you need the prayers of the church, you need that support tonight, that is what we are here for, to do that and to do so lovingly and pray for you with whatever you need. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.